Chapter 7 The Temple of the Damned. Geffen removed his robes. They came stiffly away from his body, not hanging, as normal clothing should. It looked to Udo as though they drifted through water. Geffen cast them aside without care, as if shedding some sad sheath that had burdened him all through life. Now he was free. He seemed free to be there. The robes drifted toward the couch and settled. When he looked at Udo and nodded, there seemed to be a readiness in his eyes. His entire body was covered in the dark skin, rendering him near invisible, save for where it contacted the raft. Sometimes he brushed an elbow against a wall or pressed his fingers into the side of the couch. Colors rippled in these places.
"I think it will be all right for you to keep your clothes," he said.
"I had to discard mine. Too difficult to move about with them."
"I can't feel the skin on me," Udo said.
"Nor should you. Imagine the discomfort if you could.
I'll feel like I'm going around naked."
"And so the gods delivered you into the world. But you needn't worry, it will not be so. You will never be too hot or cold while wearing it, and should you walk upon a bed of thorns, it would feel to you like soft meadow grasses."
Udo looked down at himself. His shirt drifted out from his body. He realized he had to keep pulling it back down. If he left it alone, his natural movements caused the fabric to drift inexorably toward his face until his middle was fully exposed and his vision of the floor was obscured. Finally, he pulled it over his head and tossed it toward the couch. It settled upright upon the cushion as if an invisible man still wore it, then slowly crumpled downward. Suddenly curious, he bent over and loosened the thongs which fastened his shoes to his feet and removed them as well. Then he studied his feet a moment, prodding at them to see better. He'd half expected to see each toe outlined in blackness, but it was not so. The great toe stood isolated, while the rest had been bound together, as if his feet had been clad in dark mittens.
"That's an odd way to do it," he muttered.
"It's a compromise. It helps with heat loss while still allowing for a natural grip."
"I feel like I'm going to fall into the ceiling every moment."
"And yet, if you try to remove both feet from the ground, I predict you will have some difficulty."
Udo glanced at Geffen to see if his eyes hid a smile, but they appeared to be honest. Still watching his friend, he lifted his left leg. It resisted him at first, as if the sole of his foot had been affixed to the floor with hide glue. For a moment, he felt as if he dangled upside down by one leg and had to remind himself that he stood safely upon the floor. Curious, he played with the idea of raising his right foot as well, but as soon as the muscles of his leg contracted, he felt himself drawn downward. He realized he needed the firm anchor of one foot to draw the other away from the floor.
"This is going to be a pain," Udo said.
"Indeed.
It takes a bit of muscle to pull loose. I imagine I'll be pretty tired before long."
"It is easier when you walk. Soon the Melam will learn the nature of your movements, and you will not notice it at all."
"It will learn?" Udo asked.
He was looking at his hands again. It was strange not seeing the diamonds anymore. He'd not realized how accustomed to them he had become.
"It is a part of you. Soon you will learn to command it as you do your own limbs. You'll ask it to let go, and it will, and you'll be able to jump, for instance. But, and you really must pay attention, I advise you not to jump too far. In this place, you may not come down where you desire."
"Mightn't I hit the ceiling?"
"Perhaps. But we're not alone here."
"What the fuck does that mean?"
"You are in Hell's domain, Udo. Did you really expect it to be empty?"
He had no answer for this. Geffen gestured at Udo's waist and said,
"Your pants."
"I'm keeping those."
Geffen smiled.
"As you will. I'm going to open this raft now."
"All right.
When I do, the Melam will cover you entirely. Your head and face, everything."
"What?"
Trust me, it's... How am I supposed to breathe?
Geffen didn't answer. He stood staring.
Well?
Udo demanded.
I am waiting for you to be done.
Done?
Yes. It's exhausting trying to speak over you.
Oh, for the fucking... Geffen crossed his arms.
Yes, I'm done, goddamn you. Explain how...
Something happened, something rapid. It was as if he'd been slapped, though not only against his cheek. His face, his ears, the sides, top, and back of his skull. As though a giant had clapped his head between two meaty palms. Udo stumbled backward, unbalanced, and felt himself bounce gently off the wall. Now floating upright, slowly, both arms held out to the sides as if to fend off an attack, he panted. His eyes were wide and rolling.
What just happened?
He gasped.
Can you breathe?
What? Yes, of course I can fucking breathe.
Suddenly he realized that Geffen's face was fully hidden behind an absence of reality. He began to prod at his own face with shaking fingers.
You did it to me, didn't you? I'm covered. Wait, am I?
He touched all over his face, but felt only skin. When the tips of his fingers felt the bristle of his eyebrows, he began to breathe easier.
Yes, you are now fully encapsulated. Have you noticed you cannot tell?
Geffen sounded somewhat annoyed.
You're shitting.
Now shaking his head, Geffen pointed to Karen's window with a thumb and said,
Go have a look, but please hurry, Udo. There's much to see, and we should not linger here.
Udo approached the window, squinting at the dim blur of his reflection. Geffen said a word, and light bloomed somewhere in the cabin. Udo recoiled, then looked closer into the glass. A nightmare wraith stared back at him, featureless and terrible.
I look like a Dvergos, he whispered.
When he turned back to look at Geffen, he saw that his friend's face was visible again. The skin had pulled back to wring the edges.
Can I do that with mine as well? Pull it back like that?
I haven't pulled it back, as you say. I've made the surface transparent so you can see my face. It will make it easier for us to speak.
Oh, how? I'll do it as well.
Geffen snorted.
Eventually you'll understand how. I can't explain it in words. It would be like telling you to flex a muscle you do not possess. And apart from that, your intent is quite clear in the liveliness of your voice.
Is that some sort of cut at me?
Udo, may we please continue?
They stood there a moment, staring at each other. Then Udo shrugged and said,
Yeah, fine. What's next?
A portal opened in the wall opposite of Karen's glass. Udo saw the light of the raft beyond, showing the rocky ground. It was colorless in that sharp beam, with pure black shadows carving slices through the surface where the light could not reach. Geffen approached the door, his body for the moment a perfect silhouette, and exited. Udo lingered. He couldn't tear his eyes away from that alien landscape. He saw only a few paces beyond the door, and the surface looked to him simply like rock. But he realized it was rock that no man had seen before. No living man, at least. He wondered what awaited him out there, what intelligence crouched beyond the light. He looked again to the glass and whispered,
Charon? Charon?
There was no answer. He sighed.
I'm going to shit on your carpet if I ever see you again, you unhelpful fucking goat.
Udo left the raft. He thought it was as silent within the cavern as it had been inside the raft. When he stepped down to the rock, he felt himself overtaken with a tremor. It throbbed deep within his body so that he could hear it inside his skull. It reminded him of Risa, the way the giant used to laugh when he was young, or how he bellowed across the battlefield when he'd become old. It had a pulsing, dead repetition like a hammer on an anvil, though it did not ring. The thing within him rumbled like the hooves of 100,000 galloping horses. Udo looked in all directions. He stood in the small light of the raft, an oval of white glamour standing against the endless night. Apart from the regolith that blanketed the area, he saw the slick, gray shine of the raft's hull. It gleamed as though it was wet, yet he saw no moisture upon it. He searched it briefly for the light source, but failed to detect it. All the while that thrumming within him, constant and unchanging. He looked at the floor. Powder seemed to be everywhere, everywhere the light touched, at least. It felt like soft fabrics beneath his feet, but he assumed that meant little. Geffen had said he could walk over sharp thorns untroubled. He supposed the floor might be hot enough to blister or covered in broken glass, and he wouldn't know the difference. Then, glancing at his legs, he saw the rock dust clinging well above each ankle. Udo knelt to one knee and plunged a black hand into the silt, pulled it up in a handful. Thin wisps poured from the sides like dusty water, falling straight back to the floor so slowly that it seemed time itself had been arrested. For a moment, he felt as if he was falling again. His stomach lurched, and he wondered what would happen if he vomited. He could not feel the skin over his face, but knew it must be there. Would the skin know enough to let the filth out, or would it hold it within, compressed to a fine layer between his body and the godskin? He closed his eyes to regain control of himself, but this only made things worse. His mind screamed that he hung suspended from the ceiling. Soon he would fall to the floor below. Udo snapped his eyes open and saw that all was calm. Geffen had stepped back into the light, a kind face floating over a blackly hidden frame. The hot thrum of that place vibrated Udo's body, unsettled his guts. Soon it was all he could do to concentrate on his breathing. He opened his mouth to pull more air in and was relieved to find that such a thing was possible. Udo, are you well?
A moment. We have little time left.
Udo looked at his friend.
Oh? We need to move along, Geffen nodded. Can you walk? I can certainly try, but how do you know where we're going? I see nothing beyond the light.
Geffen grunted. He appeared to gaze over Udo's head. The latter soon realized Geffen had looked at the raft. Then a new vibration joined itself to the cavern's throb. It was high and fast, like a bird's wings. The ring of light that surrounded them shuddered, then grew smaller, became dim, and vanished. Along with it went the high tremor so that only the heavy charge of horses remained. For a moment, there came the suffocating void, that familiar feeling that Udo had lost his body again. He thought about that. Even in his terror, he wondered why such a feeling should seem so familiar.
Calm, Udo. I hear your heart even from here. You'll see again in a moment. The Melam is slow to adjust yet.
And so it was. Shapes began to resolve. He saw a tall smudge immediately before him, man-shaped and naked. He looked down and saw his own body had returned as well. He saw the fingers of his left hand plunged into the cavern dust. He sensed the flavor of it. It wasn't completely gray, he realized. Flecks glittered brightly within like pulverized glass. He saw red-orange swirls, and in those places where the rock stood proud above the dust layer, there were many hues he could not name. They swirled like paint in water. He thought of Harriman again. Evenings by the fire under an alien sky, the strange long-stalked mushrooms they'd fed him. This was different, as if the response of his body had been quieted. The tingling was not there. His mind seemed to move at its normal speed. It was only his vision that had broken. His heart, his body, were still of man.
What's happening to me?
The skin is returning you your sight. What do you see?
Many colors, shimmering. The ground moves.
Oh, yes. The word you're looking for is spectroscopy. You are in the final stages. It will abate soon, I assure you, but now you must stand. Please, Udo. We must be away from here.
Geffen held out his hand, Udo stared at it for several seconds. It no longer looked like a hole cut in reality, he realized. There was depth. He thought he could see shadow playing upon it, betraying the roundness of each digit and of the limb itself. Spectroscopy, Udo said.
Rejoice, Geffen smiled. Now you see with the eyes of a god.
The hand gave an insistent shake, and Udo took it. He found himself drawn to his feet. It was very easy. He was reminded of dangling by his hands, weightless, over the yawning mouth of an entire world.
Step where the dust is thin, Geffen advised. The grip will be much better there.
Udo clutched his friend at the elbow and looked all around. The cavern was slowly opening before them, fading into sight like a swelling calamity. The rock walls grew up from the floor, stretching higher, soaring above in a slow fall. He felt as if he saw a mountain being born, as if Ing herself stretched it from the very chaos hiding beyond their realm. Higher and higher until he looked straight up. Looming far away, he saw the hidden form of Talom twisting endlessly within her rock cradle. It stretched on for as far as his new eyes could see. And somewhere beyond, he knew her sister Erda, the vast worm, gyred. It was a heady thought. Udo laughed to himself, if only to avoid sobbing. Had he truly thought of Erda as vast? Now standing within the cavern that held her, he understood vast to be a meaningless word. It was a notion dreamed of by man, describing nothing. He thought he could have invented a word composed of every letter of every language there had ever been, or would be, to give it scale, and the sound would still be a child's insult to that place.
You can't even call this a place, he thought to himself. This is all places. This is everything. This is all there is.
And it continued to spread before him under the growing strength of his eyes, the godskin's eyes.
Is this what they see? How can they stand it? How can they stand to look on anything they've created and not feel their soul crushed beneath the weight of it?
There were caverns within caverns. Udo saw caves that would have sheltered whole cities made tiny in the expanse. Geffen was walking. Udo suddenly realized he'd been walking along with him, entranced.
How far does it go?
Quite far.
We'll be here forever.
No, I know the way.
Geffen pointed.
See that down there, set into the wall?
Udo sighted along the arm. They were moving down a slope. Some distance ahead, the floor became a ragged wall, stretching up to find the cavern top. Udo craned back his head to follow, but in doing so, suddenly felt as if he walked upside down. He wrenched his eyes back to their feet.
Did you see?
I saw something. Straight lines. Like a square with a hole cut from the bottom.
That is our destination, Geffen said. It is an archway. See how it cuts through the cavern wall?
I'll look when we're closer. Every time I search too far, I feel as though I'm falling, or that I'm upside down.
He felt Geffen smile through the contact of his hand. Before he could spend much time wondering how such a thing could be so, Geffen said,
It will pass. It helps to realize that in this place, down is wherever you need it to be.
But that isn't true, Udo said. I saw dust settle to the floor back there, where the raft landed.
Very good. And even so, I'd advise you not to place too much faith in that petty force. There are realms within realms here, and they all impact each other in different ways.
I don't understand what that means.
You will. But for now, we go to that temple.
Temple?
Yes. It is the temple of the dead.
He lost all track of time as they walked. The temple entrance loomed far off, a minuscule doorway carved in stone. A few times, Udo tried to speak with Geffen to press him for details. He wanted to ask the man where he'd been. What had he been doing? Hadn't he said there had been no time between death and life? No, that was not true. He'd said he knelt at the feet of Godan, or one whose name was very much like.
What will we find beyond that archway, Geffen?
The kingdom of hell. Were our stories of her correct?
How so? People feared her when they did not desire to be taken from life. Some of the priests insisted she was a judge, the last judge, who decided if the dead would pass on to the halls of Godan, or if they would be held in her cavern, forever.
Did those stories not also say she kept a fine table, and that there was good song and poetry, and healing pools, mystical smokes and heady vapors, fighting or fucking to be found as it was desired?
There were others who said there were labors, hard toil at the pick and spade to widen out her caverns and make room for those souls who would soon arrive. They say that her serpent, Nidhogg, is set to gnaw and flay your back if you don't dig fast enough.
Geffen nodded. It must sound a horrific punishment to one who spent his life as a digger.
Are diggers so consigned there?
He looked at the archway. It may have grown bigger as they approached, but he was unsure. He cast his gaze to the floor again, concentrating on finding the places most easy to tread.
You're afraid I'm taking you here for punishment?
No, not quite.
Perhaps I'm tricking you, Udo. Perhaps you're dead already.
He felt the smile again, where Geffen's hand held his elbow. Had he forgotten the hand was there? He'd never enjoyed being touched before. Now he dreaded being released.
You wouldn't do that to me.
No?
No. Never, Geffen. You were good to me when I gave you no reason to be, when it would have made your life so much easier to crack my head and toss me down a hill.
He laughed.
Yes. Never, Geffen. What's beyond the archway? Tell me.
You will see soon enough.
Tell me. I don't know that I can keep these legs moving otherwise.
I will carry you.
Please, Geffen.
He dipped his head a moment and sighed.
It's a curious place. As you've said, our priests have often disagreed. They've claimed it both a place of reward and of punishment. Both views are correct, though not completely. The soul who enters decides what it will be. For some, it can be a place of unending reward. Others, damnation. The guilt they carry in their heart, assuming any exists, decides the flavor of their time here. The soul punishes itself, you see. The gods never punish. They only observe.
Oh, your hands are trembling.
Are they?
Udo swallowed hard. His mouth had gone dry, as if he'd scooped up a handful of rock dust and swallowed it.